Hello all, and welcome to the latest episode of the Horror Countdown Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Nelly, and with me tonight is content creator and former journalist, Stephanie Bree.
Hey everyone.
Hi, welcome aboard.
Nice to be here.
Indeed. So for tonight's show, we're going to be looking at our top 10 favorite films to introduce kids to horror. So kind of our gateway horror films or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I'm pretty interested to talk about this because this is not one that I have intimate familiar with because I don't have kids yet. But it's one that I've always been kind of curious about as the ages go along. What do we use to introduce kids to horror? So, I mean, I have my own thoughts on this, but since this was a topic you approached me with, let's get your reasoning and your motivation behind discussing what we're going to be here tonight.
Sure. For me, and watched me swim. So I was watching slasher movies at like age 6. I probably shouldn't have been. But I went through and tried to pick more kid-friendly horror movies because I figured you'd be introducing a kid to horror at a young, if you're doing it at a young age, you probably want to ease them into it. And I picked a couple that, you know, and these are all good for like someone who maybe is unsure if they're going to like horror or not. So they're good. They're good movies to like just give you a taste of what's out there.
Nice. Like I said, this is a topic that I've kind of been interested in, just, you know, as the years go by, like, what do we use as gateway films to introduce kids to horror? I know it's not, you know, the proper thing for most people to say, you know, the first film that a child should see is, you know, Cannibal Holocaust or The Exorcist or a Serbian film or, you know, something like that. But like, what do you use as child-friendly, age-appropriate films that are still enjoyable enough that, you know, even adults can like them, but the idea is to, like you said, get kids hooked on horror and show them that this is something that, you know, they can carry on later on in life and how they, you know, grow and expand their minds and expand their knowledge as, you know, they get older and, you know, they start seeing, you know, Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street and Halloween and Texas Chainsaw and, goes on from there. So I'm kind of curious as to where, like, both of us fall for this as to, like, where we, you know, where we approach the genre. Because mine, I will say this, I know a lot of people would probably be expecting me to name a specific style of film, but I'm not a huge fan of that particular group and that particular scene. So I chose more traditional, straightforward horror films that are kid-friendly, age-appropriate, and they're probably maybe a little bit more skewed towards modern films than a lot of people would expect, but I still have a pretty fun list, and I'm intrigued as to where we fall on this, so this is going to be a fun time tonight.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I guess with that, I'll get started with my number 10. Now, this one's a bit of a cheat just because it may not be readily available for most. It is released. I know where it is. You know, it is, you know, out there and out in the wilds. But I haven't seen too many talk about it. So I don't know if it's, you know, readily available, if the promotion for it is available or not. But like I said, I do know it's released as of the time of this recording. So you can find it if you want. But my number 10 is The Beast Comes at Midnight from 2023.
Okay.
So, yeah, I know this because I'm friends with one of the filmmakers. He knows I run a film website and gave it to me for review. And I had a fun time with this. So the film revolves around this teen who runs a I guess it's a paranormal news site. It's not one of those where I'm going to, you know, go around into haunted buildings and try to catch ghosts or the typical, setup that you would expect when I say, online teen, paranormal researcher. But it's basically like he reports on news and, tries to analyze it kind of a thing. So it's kind of a little different. He's, like I said, he's not a ghost hunter, but he just like is a reporter. And he catches wind that there's these strange animal attacks happening in this town. And the police are just writing it off as this wild animal. But he starts to suspect that it's this creature, that it's this, I'm not going to spoil it, but he starts to think that there's this, inhuman monster and this creature running around. And he decides to start using that as fodder for the show. And he gets his friends involved, and it kind of just goes from there. And like I said, I haven't seen a whole lot talk about it, so I don't know if the promotion for it is available, but it's really fun. And I like the dynamic here. There's a romance that's not heavily forced, but it's still pretty enjoyable, and it, comes off pretty well. There's a lot of character redemption, a lot of, heartwarming moments that are kind of built in. They kind of just, strengthen their bond, and it's still about the power of friendship. It's still about all of these kid-friendly themes, and there's very little gore, there's very little of that, the hardcore stuff. So it's very appropriate for small kids to look at. It's has a modern look. It's filmed just this year, so you're gonna, it's gonna look something that they're gonna relate to. They're not gonna be looking at dated 80s technology and get pulled out because of something like that. So I really like it. It's a fun time. Like I said, it's available. I believe it's only on Prime at the moment, but if you get a chance to check it out, it's definitely worth the watch. It's called The Beast Comes at Midnight.
Okay.
All right. So, I guess that moves us to your number 10.
Well, for my number 10, I picked the scariest movie I've ever seen. And this is Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Nice.
I'm kidding. No, my actual number 10 is The Ring from 2002.
Hmm.
I feel like The Ring is kind of like the story is reminiscent to a campfire story kids are probably already familiar with. If they go to camp or whatever. And the cool thing about The Ring is there's only like two or three deaths, but they're like real quick and they are shocking, but they're not gory. And the whole movie is about that. It's got a kid as the focus, and it's how does that kid deal with death? So it's a good one to have a conversation with your kid about, what is the meaning of death and life and those kinds of things to kind of prepare them for that.
Hmm. Nice. It's one I never thought of. Yeah, I kind of thought about the few death scenes that we get in it are a little kind of graphic, but yeah, mm-hmm. That's not a bad one. I definitely can see where that would be a appropriate one. I'm kind of shocked I didn't think of this. That's actually not a bad one. I kind of like that choice.
And it is PG-13, so it's not like hard.
Right, yeah. Like I said, it's one I never thought of. But yeah, that's, now that you say that, that's not a bad one. Yeah, I like it. So, all right, cool.
Now, you might have to have a conversation about what in the heck a VHS is, but...
True. Maybe if you're they're the hardcore fans, maybe that wouldn't be that big of an issue. A lot of the old school collectors and completists will probably have maybe a couple laying around, so it shouldn't be that big, but that's still, it's still not a bad one. I kind of like that. All right. Moving on to number 9. Again, like I said, mine is very heavily skewed for modern, more modern films. So this is another one that was released just this year. And I believe this one has a little bit more promotion because it's available on Screenbox. So I've seen a few of my friends post about it, so I'm sure that there's a little bit more awareness for it. My number 9 is Shaky Shivers. So this one, like I said, it's again this year. It's about a teen and her best friend. They are workers at this ice cream parlor, and they're trying to take their friend home for the night. He gets stuck with them at closing, and they're forced to, you know, take him home, and then the shift ends. But they end up getting stranded at this summer camp out in the middle of the woods, and there's a creature running around. And again, just because it's newer, not many have seen it, although I know that there are a few that have. I will try to keep it a little vague and spoiler-free. But I really enjoyed this one. There's a, you know, great friendship at the center of it. There's a fun little series of encounters that take place in the middle of it. And there's a lot going on that's going to keep their interest. It's a fast-moving film. There's some nice little bits of comedy here and there that aren't egregiously thrown into the film. There's a rather, you know, lighthearted tone that kind of keeps everything moving along at a fun little beat. And again, it's not one that's got a lot of gore and a lot of, you know, off-putting elements, but yeah, again, it's another one that, you know, if you see it around, give it a shot. It's worthwhile. Number 9 for me is Shaky Shivers.
Awesome. Yeah. So I dug back into the 80s here, and I picked one that is also PG-13, but it was awfully close to rated R. It's sort of, you could describe it as the teenager's version of the Goonies. And it's called The Monster Squad. Now, it is a bunch of preteens and you know, 11, 12, 13-year-olds that are fighting the Universal monsters, you know, from the olden days. Frankenstein, Dracula, the Mummy, those kind of guys. So, again, it's another one where it's kid-focused. And in this particular one, the kids are the heroes. But it does make reference to one of the... In order to close the portal to hell to get rid of the monsters, they have to have a virgin. So you might want to have to shy away from what is a virgin conversation with your kids.
Yeah, that is also on my list, and I will be discussing it later on. But I agree. There's not much in this, though, one that really wouldn't warrant a lot of unsavory or, you know, unpleasant conversations. I mean, like you said, the virgin thing is probably like the only thing, but yeah, it still holds up really well. You know, the adventure scenario is pretty fun, and yeah, there's some fun moments here and there. You know, it's still pretty quotable. I'm sure a lot of people are gonna, you know, instantly know exactly what I mean when I say that, but yeah, it's still a pretty fun time. You know, it gets them exposed to, you know, the more traditional movie monsters that, you know, we don't really see often because everybody tries to go away from them because they're used so often. So I really like it for that fact. But yeah, it still holds up for the most part. But yeah, not bad. So number 8, I kept this high on my list because this one is a massive cheat. And I say that because I could narrow this down to just one. So I'm going to just use a blanket statement and say my number 8 is the Scooby-Doo animated films. And I'm going to use I'm specifically mentioning the modern stuff like Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island or Scooby-Doo and the Alien Invaders or I wish I remembered more. I remember there's one where they get involved with like a reanimated samurai clan. I just use a blanket statement for the Scooby-Doo animated movies. I, for one, am still a massive Scooby-Doo fan. I never missed any of the episodes except for maybe a few here and there that kind of just snuck under the radar or changed their schedules at the last minute. But I'm not ashamed to admit that I still love him. He's still, you know, hysterical. He's still pretty funny. And I couldn't really pick which of the films I like the most. I probably would lean to the earlier ones. Like I said, Scooby-Doo and Zombie Island and Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost are still probably my favorite too, just because I still think that they're the ones that embody the spirit of the cartoon while still doing their own thing. But, you know, you still can't go wrong with any of the cartoons or the movies especially. So like I said, massive cheat, but I'm just using them to, you know, they're high on the list, so I'll just, you know, use a blanket statement and say the Scooby-Doo animated movies.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen the live action films in long enough to rate them as much, but I do remember liking them to a degree, although again, it's I can't say much just because it's been years. But overall, mm-hmm. Yes, Scooby-Doo is still a fantastic gateway for many people. Animated, family-friendly, not going to have too many unsavory conversations like a couple of the others. But yeah, overall, Scooby-Doo is still a great gateway. God, why was that so hard? But
absolutely.
Yeah, number eight for me is, Scooby-Doo.
So my number eight is an anthology film. It is based on a TV series. It's Twilight Zone, the movie. And I think one of the reasons why I picked this one is because it's not a made-for-TV movie, but it feels like a made-for-TV movie. So it's not got anything that's going to, like, terrify the kids too much. But it does have some scary moments.
Nice.
Kind of like the TV show.
Yeah.
And also it has Dan Aykroyd in it, so kids are going to recognize him from Ghostbusters probably.
Yeah, probably. There's a few that will probably, as soon as you make the connection, I think they'll get it. I don't know if they would assume offhand, but yeah, if you say that's, you know, the guy from Ghostbusters, I think they'll probably know who you're talking about that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not on my list, but I definitely know. I definitely can see that, where you're coming from with those. I was kind of I didn't really like approach anthologies just because I didn't know, like, you know, how it would be if you're like trying to introduce a kid to it. Like, you would probably have to like expose the idea of an anthology first. Like, you know, you're watching half hour shorts and, you know, they're like, well, why couldn't we just watch a TV show episode instead? You know, like, anthologies to me are kind of like a gray area as like an introductory point, just because it's like, well, if we're watching half hour shorts, why aren't we watching a TV show? Like, I'm, you know, not a father. I can't say that this was a conversation I've had, but that's just the way my mind went with it. So I kind of steered away from it, but, okay. I know where you're coming from with this choice, because it is one that I can see being used. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, for me personally, I kind of thought of, like, you know, exposing them as a gateway drug, and I didn't know like how it would be taken. But I do know that this would be a potential choice if, you know, the opportunity arose. This was probably first on my list if I was to do so. So move on to number seven. This is probably the last of the movies from this year, or I should say the last of the 2023 films. I was actually kind of surprised at how much I enjoyed this one. And it's one that, again, I didn't see a whole lot talking about, but I absolutely enjoyed it, and it has a lot going for it. My number seven is R.L. Stein's Zombie Town, or I don't know if it's... I don't know if it's actually affiliated with him, but I know that I saw R.L. Stein's Zombie Town when I watched it. So I'm assuming it's based off of that. But I had a lot of fun with this. For the last time, I'll try to keep the thing brief. But it's set in a small town where this famous horror director resides. Basically, the small town is basically devoted to him. Everybody, you know, worships his work. He's like seen as like the town hero, even though the guy himself is a notorious recluse and doesn't really interact with people beyond specific occasions. And he's about to come out of retirement and deliver his latest horror film. And it's, you know, got everybody all buzzed and excited, except for this one teen who doesn't care for horror films. He doesn't like the films, and he, you know, just wants to get out of town and move on and put, you know, the town's obsession behind him. Unfortunately, it's pretty difficult when he works as the head usher at a movie theater, which is set to host the screening. And when the film is about to be screened, it turns out that it releases a zombie curse that turns the entire town into, well, they're not flesh-eating ghouls, but it turns them into a horde of undead. And it basically revolves around him trying to get out of town alive with a few other survivors that didn't become turned just like everybody else. So, it, you know, kid-friendly zombies, kind of an odd mix, but this one works pretty well. I enjoy where it goes with it. It kind of plays a lot with, you know, hero worship, where, you know, you idolize somebody to like this fanaticism and like where that's a good idea versus a bad idea. I like where it goes with, you know, the treatment of horror as this, you know, be all end all kind of concept where everybody in this town is this huge, massive, like, oh, you know, you've wear the shirts, you've got the posters, you've got all the merchandise, you know, all the backstories and all that. And it's kind of one where you can see like, you know, like I said, like the line between fanaticism and fandom. And, you know, again, it's pretty well handled in this kid-friendly zombie film where you got all kinds of encounters, but, you know, it doesn't go where you expect it to be because it's a, you know, kid-friendly film. You mentioned Dan Aykroyd. He's in this one as well. He's the director in question that the town worships. So he actually has a, you know, a pretty big role in this. He's, you know, not a, you know, one day cameo guy to put the name on the poster. But yeah, he's got a pretty prominent role. You know, he's a pretty fun time here. And yeah, it's a pretty enjoyable film overall. So if you give it a shot, you know, you may enjoy it. But yeah, I figure this would be a fun one. You know, kind of go, you know, get out of the, you know, creature monster movie thing that a lot of these kid-friendly films are kind of focused on, and do something a little different. Give them another, you know, big monster, you know, big horror villain to kind of get behind and introduce them to. So, yeah, my number seven is Zombie Town.
So my number seven is technically the only R-rated one on the movie, on the list, excuse me. But it's only rated R because of one F-bomb. The rest of the movie, they censor the F-bombs because they were going for a PG-13 and the studio said, no, our horror movies have to be rated R. This was before PG-13 horror movies. And it's Tremors. And Tremors is another one that looks like a made-for-TV movie when you watch it, but it actually was released in theaters. But it's very low budget, very, it's not, won't go so far as to say like kid friendly, but it's not, I mean, the deaths in it are monsters and a lot of them are, you know, they've already died and people are just discovering the bodies. You don't see a lot of people die in the movie. And it's kind of like a Western kind of adventure, like an Indiana Jones kind of movie a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know where you're coming from. It was a choice for me. I kind of kept it off just because I was afraid of the rating, but other than that, I don't think that there's much else wrong with it. Again, like I said, just the rating is the only thing that kind of steered me away from it, but yeah, other than that, it's not a bad one. I can definitely see it as a one for most people's lists. All right, so move on to my number six. Like I said, I kind of skewed recent, but this one is, you know, not one from last year or, you know, a Scooby-Doo one, but it's a little, I think it's 2021 or 2022 or something like that. But either way, I went with Spirit Halloween, the movie.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So I really enjoy this one. You know, it kind of deals with ghosts and the undead. You have a, you know, pretty fun group of main characters that you follow. Nothing is really overtly scary or horrifying, but, you know, the tone's bright. The atmosphere is pretty enjoyable, and it kind of deals more with the celebration of the holiday and, you know, getting kids involved in that manner. So it doesn't really necessarily deal with like the gruesome elements, but it's more like a celebration of Halloween itself and you know, the association with the store will probably make it a little easier to for kids to get into it. But yeah, again, it's a pretty fun time. I don't know why it's not talked about more, but I can definitely see this one becoming more of a prominent choice in the years to come. So number six for me is Spirit Halloween, the movie.
Okay. So for my number six, I picked kind of a, it is more kid friendly. It's a cheesier B movie. There's no profanity or nudity or any of that stuff in it. And one of the things about it, it's called Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Unless your kid happens to be afraid of clowns, it's not a very scary movie.
True.
And nobody really, I mean, people die in it, but you don't know they die. They just wrap them up in cotton candy, and you don't know if they live or die because they do rescue people at the end, so it's kind of ambiguous. It's ambiguous enough that a kid might not piece it together.
True, yeah. I definitely can see that happening, yeah. Yeah, not one on my list. I'm not really a fan of it, but I can definitely see where you're coming from with this. You know, I like you said, it's kind of ambiguous with a lot of its touchier subjects, and you know, the clown thing maybe something, but other than that, I, you know, they're treated as jokesters more than anything, so it's not really like they're doing like overt mass murders or anything like that. But I can see it. It's just, you know, if I was maybe a fan more of the movie, maybe, but not a bad one either. I can definitely see that. All right, so move on to my number five. And this is one that nobody knows about, but it's one that I absolutely enjoy. I don't know why it's not, you know, talked about more, but in any case, it's one that I've always enjoyed for the most part. Made for TV movie, but don't let that put you off. It's actually a lot of fun. I have The Haunting Hour, Don't Think About It. So this is from, I want to say 2010, 2011, somewhere in there. It's about this kid who works at works in this small town, you know, like gift shop, or they you know, it's like one of those like things that sells like, you know, gifts, and kind of like a, you know, if you're old enough to remember, like a Spencer's kind of a thing. But he ends up, and he, you know, he finally meets the owner. The owner is going to come by and do like a, he's doing like a store to door tour, and he ends up, and he hands the kid a book called the, you know, Don't Think About It. And it kind of, you know, has shades of the Babadook. It's this pop-up book about this strange creature that comes around, and, you know, it's supposed to, like, you know, terrify kids and, you know, steal them away and stuff like that. And he ends up, and he, you know, reads it aloud, which brings the monster to life. And eventually this creature starts rampaging through the community and starts, you know, not killing people, but, you know, taking, you know, people, you know, strange disappearances and stuff like that. And he has to team up with his friend to try to figure out what's going on. And I've always really liked this one. You know, again, it's a kind of like with the Zombie Town, it's based on an R.L. Stine one. You know, he's heavily promoted in this, and, you know, it's a practical creature. They do have a, you know, practical creature involved. There's a fun cameo from Tobin Bell in this. So genre fans are going to, you know, have a familiar name to recognize. And overall, it's a, you know, just fun little original creature feature, you know, nothing overtly serious or harmful, but I have fun with it. Again, it's one that haven't seen much talked about, but if you get a chance to see it, definitely give it a shot. So my number five is The Haunting Hour, Don't Think About It.
Okay. For my number five, I went with one that is less obvious horror. It's more of a psychological thriller, but it is PG-13, and it's, I would say, can be fun for kids because it's underwater and it involves aliens, and it's called Sphere by Michael Crichton, the same guy who wrote Jurassic Park. It is, I would say, a little darker than some of these other ones, but not like gory or bloody. And like some of them, especially like The Ring, there are deaths in it, but they're like quick, and you just like see it, and then it moves on really fast.
I don't remember this one. I probably may have seen this back. This is like,
it was 95 or 6. Yeah, it was Dustin Hoffman and Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay, I don't think I've seen this, but I think I've seen the poster. It's one, it looks like they're on like the bottom and they're like trying to get in this like strange puzzle box, right?
It's a sphere that it like shows you your nightmares.
They're like on.
It makes them reality.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're in a submarine at the bottom of the ocean investigating what they think is an alien spaceship, but it turns out it's a U.S. Aircraft from the future.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think I've seen this around, but I don't think I've ever actually seen it. So, yeah, I'm going to have to check that one out because, yeah, it sounds pretty interesting. Again, it's one that I don't know of, so I'm kind of intrigued. So we'll move on to the expected part of my list. These are a little bit older. We're kind of at the old school, like I said, the ones that I would expect most people to assume would be on the list. And we're going to start off with one that's been mentioned already. My number 4 is the Monster Squad. So... yeah, I guess we repeated. I don't have much else to add, but yeah, it still holds up for a reason. Still has some great jokes, still has some great lines, and yeah, it's still really fun for kids to get into the older monster movies. So my number 4 is the Monster Squad.
Nice. My number 4 is another one that's contentious. Some people say it's horror, other people don't. It's a monster movie for sure, but it has children in it, and they're like the focus of the movie, and it's Steven Spielberg's Jurassic Park. It's just scary enough that you can get a kid to kind of warm up to horror, but not too scary that they're going to be turned off from it altogether.
Nice, yeah. I kind of figured this one would be a little too terrifying. I thought about it, but I was always leery about the raptor attack in the electrical panel. I thought that one would probably be way too scary, with a severed arm and then the thing pops out just directly behind it. So you're grossing them out and then you scare them half to death. I understand that may get them into it, but I'm also kind of leery about that turning them away. So okay. I appreciate the idea behind it. It's one that you could probably use, but I didn't put it for that reason. I figured that one was just a little too on the nose for it. But yeah, overall, I do see that is a I wouldn't be mad if somebody did it. I'm just saying I didn't go for that one. But
okay,
yeah, still not a bad choice. Number 4. This is one. Not necessarily as horror as the others. This is kind of one where I kind of bended the rules. I still assume that this one still revolves around ghosts and death, and it's still kid friendly to a degree. So I went with the original 1995 Casper.
Okay.
Yeah, I still figure that one would still be enough for it's still horror enough to count. There's again, like I said, plenty of discussion on ghosts, the afterlife, death, but it's still kind of goofy and funny. There's maybe one or two like terrifying scenes where they try to drive him out of the house and, they pull the ghost face and stuff like that. But yeah, other than that, I don't think there's too much to really dissuade kids from trying to watch it. You know, it still looks much more modern than what it would be. Kids not really getting into, like, you know, 80s and, you know, like earlier films than that. It still kind of looks a little bit more modern. But overall, yeah, it's still really fun, still holds up, and I think there's still a lot of value in this one. So 4 for me is Casper.
Was that 3 or 4? So I thought we just did 4.
No, that's... Oh, you're right. Yeah, it is number 3. Yeah, my bad. I was just looking at the wrong one. I was actually looking at... Because I forgot to cross off Monster Squad on my list, that's why.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going off my notes. I forgot to cross off Monster Squad. So, yeah, number 3.
I had Casper at number 3, but I bumped it for A Nightmare Before Christmas because I figured you're killing two birds with one stone. You're getting you can watch it at Halloween, but you can also watch it at Christmas, so they're getting a double dose. And it's creepy, but not scary.
Yeah, I can see that. Nightmare on Elm Street is an honorable mention. It's on
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah, that one's on my honorable mentions. I figured maybe the songs would probably get to them. That could probably be a turn off. But in every other regard, I definitely agree. Introduces them to two holidays. Doesn't really feel off putting in any degree. And yeah, you still get a enough dose of like creepy imagery and stuff like that that you expose them to the idea pretty easily. So, I have Nightmare Before Christmas on my honorable mentions. So, all right, move on to my number 2, and I figured this one would probably be a pretty easy get into just because there's a lot of talk about the sequel coming out, and perhaps you'd get them into the original. Still has some bizarre imagery that would maybe be terrifying for kids, but as adults, you're not really gonna see anything that's really worthy of much conversation. I ended up going with Beetlejuice. Again, not one that's gonna be shocking to see on a list for this, but still has some good jokes, still has some one-liners. Keaton is still a blast to watch, going through his routines, and like I said, there's just enough to where you're introducing them to be scary, especially when they start mangling their faces up, and you see all those wacky little things that they do with their heads and bodies and stuff like that. So you're not really overtly terrifying them, but you're still kind of getting them like used to seeing like scary images and like bodily harm and stuff like that, but they change right back, so it's not like permanent. For the most part, I it still holds up. It's still really fun, and in this regard, I definitely has a lot of value. So 2 for me is Beetlejuice.
Okay. For my number 2, I went with a more obviously kid-friendly one, and it's called Hocus Pocus. It's another one that stars a bunch of kids who are facing off against scary witches, but they're not, like, really scary, and the kids triumph at the end. And, it can be scary for kids because they're eating their souls, but they do win in the end and rescue the kids. And it also has a kind of zombie in it. So you can get to introduce kids to something that's a little different than the normal. What they're used to.
Yeah. Another honorable mention for me. Another one that, I can definitely see where this is going with it. Again, the kids are a big focus, and don't have much else to add, but it's an honorable mention for me.
Okay.
All right. So we'll move on to the number 1 choice, and it's kind of hard for me to overlook this one. It's still really fun. It still has a lot of value, and I but I don't see much of anything wrong here that was really upset kids too much. Maybe one scene aside, but other than that, it's still near flawless. My number one is Gremlins. So,
Oh my God.
yeah,
That's my number
you're
one too.
your number one, yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you just take one look at Gizmo, and it's kind of hard to tell anyone why they shouldn't be watching this one. So, again, the antics are really more mischievous than scary. So, even though it's still about creatures, and you're seeing like the little things running around, they're not scary at all. And practical creatures. You're still getting them used to seeing monsters and stuff like that. And yeah, like I said, it's mischievous more than scary. So I don't know what if you want to add anything, but I guess that's my reasoning.
I those are all those same reasons I picked Gremlins. It's one that, I watched when I was a kid, and I've shown it to kids, and it just seems like one that they can handle.
First-hand experience. I guess I never thought of that one. But yeah. So yeah, I guess that will wrap us up. So if we have any honorable mentions or anything that we want to just give a little quick shout out and before we leave.
Well, I had two honorable mentions. One, everybody's seen probably already, and it's Ghostbusters. It's got just a little bit of creepy elements, but it does talk about ghosts and stuff a lot. And my other one, I actually did find scary when I was a kid, so I didn't want to put it on the list, but it's called The Witches. But
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, the original version, right? The late 80s, early
Yes.
90s. Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah,
But I just remember it scared me, and I had already seen like R-rated horror movies, so I'm thinking, I don't want to put that on my list because if it scared me, it might scare kids.
All right. So yeah, like I mentioned, I had two. I had Nightmare Before Christmas and Hocus Pocus. I also thought of Ghostbusters, but the other one that I had was Goosebumps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. I didn't know where, like if kids would find it silly rather than anything because the monsters look goofy. Not the greatest special effects to bring them to life. Maybe that would kind of turn them off more than anything. But Goosebumps was a another one that I had thought of. But yeah, guess that will be everything. So thank you so much for this. This was a lot of fun and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
All right. So before we leave, let everybody know where they can find you and follow you online.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at StephanieBree22, and I also have three YouTube channels, but they're all kind of interconnected. My main channel is just Stephanie Bree. It's a vlog. My other channel is Horror Trans, where I talk about horror movies, and Bree's Toys, where I just show off toys from my collection.
Nice. All right. So, go ahead and have everything linked down below in the show notes for you to check out and follow. And so that will be the end of another episode. Thank you again for joining me. Thank you all again for listening. And we will be back next time with a new episode. So until then, take care.